Hello, everyone, and welcome to another massive edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and joining me on the line from thepickandroll.com.au is Damien Arsonis. Damo, how are you?
Very good, mate, and what a big day it's been. Of course, as we record, we've just seen the conclusion of Ben Simmons' career night. 27 points, 10 rebounds, yep. 2 assists, 4 steals, and a massive win over Joe Ingles and the Utah Jazz. Joe Ingles had 8 points in that game. But, yeah, that's breaking news for us. And, of course, by the time we go to air, it'll be old news.
Yeah, it's funny, you know. Last week we opened with the WNBL and we seemed to be going the same way this week. I thought, you know, this will be 2 weeks of a non-Ben Simmons lead. I thought this is going to be, you know, a nice diversity of Australian basketball. And then, of course, today he goes out and says, no, I'm leading that podcast. And by the way, I mean...
I bet that's what he was thinking.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. He's probably listening to us pregame thinking, nah, these guys, they got to leave with me. He was unbelievable. Actually, as I'm watching it in the studio, ESPN are just showing his highlights now from the game. Unbelievable as always. Also got to quickly mention the 4-20 deal with the Philadelphia 76ers partnering with 4-20 Pies because of Ben Simmons. We'll be selling 4-20s at games in Philadelphia. Not sure if it will be as popular as the Philly cheesesteaks, Damo, because I know that's very traditional Philadelphia food. But not only is Ben Simmons 15 games into his career, putting up unbelievable numbers, career high, as we mentioned today, he's becoming an endorser of famous traditional Australian products. He can do it all.
How good's that? And plus, they're going to have some kind of Australiana night on the, I think it's on the 24th of January
as
well.
Yeah, he's doing it all.
You know, which sort of coincides with Australia Day. So it's great to see Simmons having an influence there from an Australian perspective, but also that the club, the organisation of the 76ers are embracing it as well. And, it's just going to endear themselves to Australian fans even more.
Yeah, well, the Cavaliers had a Australia Day game when Dally was there. I remember it was...
Sponsored by Up and Go.
Yeah, sponsored by Up and Go, had their gold uniform. So it was a great initiative. And it's good fun. Hey, we're going to move on because, like I said, we did have a packed show planned before but we had to mention that Ben Simmons news straight off the top. Career high, pickandroll.com.au for the highlights and the write-up. All your analysis will be right there, so you won't miss a thing with the pick and roll in relation to Ben Simmons. But Damo, we have to talk about this. Now, this is probably, it came out of nowhere in a way that it did come out kind of a couple of days after it happened. No one really noticed it when it did happen, or if they did notice, it did get swept under the rug. But Liz Cambage, I mean, look, she had another big game, 32 points against the Canberra Capitals. They won by 30 points from the Melbourne Boomers. They've won 4 in a row. They are flying. They're primed to make a run at that top spot in the second half of the season. But we just want to chat about her knee to Misty Bass, the Canberra Capitals centre.
Now, Misty Bass.
Misty Bass, excuse me.
Very interesting scenario. So first and foremost, it did come out. Someone posted on social media some I'll call it highlights, some footage of Cambage where it was certainly out in the open, put a knee into the back of Misty Bass's leg. And
very deliberate.
Misty Bass, look, you could not say it was anything but deliberate.
Yep.
The referees missed it. Certainly a lot of fans may have missed it, but Misty Bass didn't, and she certainly reacted. Since following up, I heard that she was livid after the game. She was absolutely livid. And to date, we've heard nothing from the WNBL, and we've heard nothing from the league or the Boomers or anyone. And then, of course, the footage of pops up on social media literally yesterday.
Yep.
And it's quite damning.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think, obviously this is a fluid situation. So by the time you might be listening to this, there probably will be more information out there in terms of potential punishment or whatnot. So just keep that in mind when you're listening, that it is a moving situation as we speak. I know the WNBL...
So for legal purposes, we're calling it an alleged knee.
Yep. I know, look, the WNBL, I think, provided a statement to Fox Sports and the Herald Sun. They've basically said, look, we're investigating, blah, blah, blah. I've spoken to some Melbourne Boomers staff, you know, and they've basically said, look, we're just waiting to see what the WNBL decides, and then we'll decide our course of action, whether we appeal a potential penalty or whatever. So there's just a lot of unknowns at this stage. But, I mean, just leaving the actual incident to one side, Damo, I just want to have a more of a general chat about Liz and her impact in the WNBL so far.
Look, about the personality that is Liz Cambage.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know she's an amazing basketballer, had 44 points last week. So I think she's had like 76 points in the last two games. She's leading the team to the four-game winning streak. She's playing unbelievable, leading the league in scoring. And we know all that. We know how much of a sensation she is on the court. when she's playing basketball. But there's been a few instances where, you know, she's had tech fouls, fouled out of games, you know, spotted with friends after the game while the teammates are doing their recovery on the court. Just a few little things that just makes you wonder, you know, makes you wonder about how she's fitting into the culture of the WNBL and of the Melbourne Boomers, Damo.
Look, I've seen it too. So the things you're talking about, you know, the opening round of the season, she gets fouled out and she's waving to the crowd, all smiles, exactly the kind of behaviour you'd expect of a role model. And then, you know, even just the other week, you know, she looked reluctant to sign signatures, and next minute, you know, she's sitting with a table on the court. While all the other players, they always get a chair out and let the players sit down. But for some reason, she ends up with a table the first time I've seen that. And, of course, there's been other hearsay that I haven't personally seen, but certainly some other situations that is certainly not endearing herself to either her teammates, the opposition, or the fans. And her personality seems to be bigger than the game at the moment, or allowing it to be bigger than the game. And from my point of view, while she's a fantastic player, I'll be the first to say that she's probably one of the most talented Australian players going around, maybe one of the most important players for our Opals program as well moving forward if we want a medal. But right now, while she's playing fantastic basketball, I don't know if she's the best fit for, say, an Opals program. Or when it gets to the finals for the Boomers, is she going to blow up?
We know in the past she's had her issues with the Opals. You know, they haven't been that fond of her. They've been hard on her when she hasn't lived up to her standards and expectations.
She went to a music festival instead of training.
Yeah, correct. And we all know, obviously, the social media is still not insured with Bo. And they both play it down, but I reckon there's at least something behind that. So it's a really fascinating situation here because, we've mentioned, we know how good she is and how important she is. I mean, I know in the Cup Eve game, she basically led the Boomers to victory in the last quarter against the Dandenong Rangers. They stole that game off the back of her dominance. So we know she can win a game in a quarter. And we know the Boomers are going to be in the playoffs. So we expect them to be because they're very talented. Jenna O'Hay's back from injury, and you know they're all guns blazing at the moment. You wonder if it's a semi-final, if it's a crunch game, the last quarter, she's on 4 fouls, they're down by one. Like you said, it's a very, very smoky situation. Will she explode? Will she lead him to victory? It's fascinating, Damo. Fascinating to see what happens.
It's something to talk about, but right now, for what she did the other night, I'd be surprised if she's not sanctioned by the league and brought before a tribunal. I find it hard to believe that will not happen. Of course, we haven't heard anything yet, and as you said, the WNBL is investigating. So I'd find it hard to believe that she's not going to be brought before a tribunal to at least hear what happened.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we'll move on.
In particular.
We'll move on. And of course, like I mentioned before, once there's news out of there, pickandroll.com.au, pickandroll.au on social media, we'll be all over it. Don't worry about that. Hey, let's move on, Damo, to a real positive story about someone who's doing some great, great work overseas. That is Venky Joyce. Now, he's playing unreal basketball. Tell us all about it.
Well, he certainly is. So he's ended up in Croatia. I think we've touched on it a couple of times with Osijek. And he's playing in a really good league now. He's gone from Estonia to Croatia, and of course Croatia's been a very strong basketball nation over the last couple of decades, and this season's no different, and he's playing against teams that are playing in higher leagues such as the Adriatic League and the FIBA Europe Cup and some others like that, and he's been the absolute star of the show for Osijek, and he's averaging, I think, close to 19 points a game, 18 or 19 points a game. His last start, he had 17 points, 10 rebounds. He's just been outstanding and doing it all. And he's starting to show that he may even have a three-point shot as well, which was one of the things against him. So from my point of view, he's been the star of the show for the Aussies. Look, others like Brock Modem, Ryan Brokoff, Jonah Bolden, they've all had their moments and they've all been doing a consistent job and role for their teams. But Venky Joyce has been the star so far this year and really emerged as being one of the strongest Australian players playing in Europe at the moment and certainly someone to look out for. And in my opinion, he's knocking on the door of the Boomer squad.
Speaking of the Boomers, Damo, it was a nice segue there. They are in action this week. We've got some Boomers basketball, some Australian national team basketball. A very important, I'm not sure, maybe people might not have noticed this because maybe it's been lost in the midst of Ben Simmons and the NBL season and everything else that's happening. Some World Cup qualifiers this week. Now, we all know last week how the nation got a rip behind the Socceroos in their Honduras game and how big that was. I mean, hey, the Boomers Road gets kicked off on Friday against Chinese Taipei. It's the first game. I'm pretty sure this is a new qualification system for the 2019 World Cup. Of course, the Opals have already qualified because they won the Asian Cup. The Boomers won the Asia Cup as well, but it's a different situation for them. They still got to go through the qualification process. It's an NBL-filled roster. Of course, the NBA aren't going to give up those guys. So, full of NBA players, but regardless of the... It's not a full-strength Boomers team. They shouldn't really have... We're not expecting them to have any real issues against Chinese Taipei, are we, Damo?
No, we're not. So, firstly, it's a different qualification system to the women at the moment because the women have the 2018 World Cup. Their World Cup's next year. So Asia Cup was the qualification system for that. But with the men, it's 2019. This is where they're going, and they're going through Asia. And it's a new FIBA thing. It's a worldwide qualification where there's windows very similar to the FIFA Soccer World Cup qualification system now. We get home and away games, which means... For the first time in a very, very long time, we have regular, meaningful Australian Boomers games, both home and abroad, over the period of nearly 12 months. So we're going to see lots of Boomers action, as you mentioned, a lot of NBL players. And Chinese Taipei, well, we thrashed them at the recent FIBA Asia Cup.
Yeah.
So we should not have too many problems with them. I think we beat them by 40 off the top of my head. And... I just think it's a great thing for basketball. Now, we'll go over there. We should take care of business. But then we're back very quickly because there's a small window where we're going to have Japan. We're going to be hosting Japan. So one of the stronger teams in FIBA Asia in Adelaide.
Mm. So it'll be good. I mean, it'll be good for Adelaide. They can get down and support the Boomers. But, hey, I don't want to say it's a trap game because I think they know that Japan is a good team. But you wonder, you know, they're going to be off. It's a long trip. It's a short turnaround. You know, it's going to be, what does Andre Lemieux do? Does he maybe, does he go into Chinese Taipei with Japan at the back of his mind, how he distributes his minutes? You know, does he maybe say, is there one or two players that he wants to hold minutes-wise in the away game and save them for 15, 20 minutes in the home game? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out because you have to consider it, don't you? The travel factor is real. I mean...
Oh, you look, you do. Yeah. They're all travelling.
That's true.
The game, so I'm not sure how much playing the game actually comes into it. It's more the travel. But having said that, Japan are in a very similar scenario. They're going to have to travel to Australia.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see Lemieux spread the minutes. I think they'll be focusing on what they need to do to beat Japan, and they'll be focusing on the strategies to do that, which is probably just going to be more of the same of what we've seen with the Boomers program. So we're going to see some consistent applications and possibly even extended on what he did to the FIBA Asia Cup. And it's just great to see the Boomers in action.
And, of course, you can watch those games on Fox Sports, so you can watch them. So you can watch them all as well. So they'll be great to see as well. Of course, that's an NBL-filled squad, which means, of course, there's no NBL this week. They've got an international break. So for Damo, I mean, considering the NBL source, we might just have a look at a couple of teams, considering this is almost like a breath. You can almost, you know, a quarter way in, you can have a breath and see who's impressed and who hasn't. Two teams we want to chat about. We'll start off with you. I know you want to talk about the Sydney Kings, of course, brought in Jerome Randle, brought in Jeremy Tyler, but they lost their first two games with them. They're 2-9. They lost to the Hawks in an unlosable situation, up by 16 in the fourth quarter, make go to overtime. They lose in overtime, missed about a million free throws when the game was on the line. It was just, you could see the pain on Andrew Gaze's face. You couldn't believe what was transpiring. You wouldn't have a chat about him because they're 2-9 and they're holding up the NBL. They're last on the ladder.
Well, they are. Well, if you're talking about the hottest teams in the NBL, you're talking the New Zealand Breakers.
Ooh.
What a team they are. But then you're looking at the other end of the scale, and really what we've seen, honestly, and I'm going to bring it back, we are seeing a return of the Violet Crumbles. We're seeing it. They're playing Violet Crumbles basketball. This is what we used to see from the Sydney teams. They used to... You know, all highlights, slash and dash, and then they'd crumble and lose anyway. So it seems to be a repeat, and maybe that's what Gaze's underlying intention was when he went to Sydney, is to bring back the crumbles and head back to Melbourne. I don't know, but it's certainly not panning out well for Gaze at the moment.
No, and look, they face an uphill battle to get back. Look, I know they've got the talent, but how's it going to gel? It doesn't happen overnight.
I can't see it happening. They're two and nine.
You know, so...
They're going to have to get hot like the Breakers are right now to be able to get anywhere near. And, of course, the Breakers are playing just fantastic team basketball.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
I can't see it happening.
You look at how the league is, I think New Zealand and Perth have kind of... I think they're going to be the top
two.
They're separated. We'll go in depth about this team in a moment, but I still think maybe United will slot into third. And then I think it's a battle between Adelaide and the Hawks for fourth. I think Cairns and
Brisbane. I think you're right now.
I think Cairns and Brisbane are just a pace of that. They can jump back in there, and then Sydney's after that. I think the league's kind of...
I think you're spot on.
I think the league has tiered itself out. But like I mentioned, we'll chat about Melbourne United. Now, I was there on Sunday. I was there, 32-point loss to the Perth Wildcats. I mean, look, Dean Vickerman said it after the game, so we're not saying something that no one knows, but it just shows how far off they are. Well, I mentioned there, they're probably going to finish third, but the gap between the top two and them at the moment is massive. Now, look.
It's big, and they haven't been able to get the players to either be consistent or gel, or a combination of both, really.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it. We've spoken about it a few times, and I'm going to say it. Chris Goulding, there's either something seriously wrong with him, where he can't play to his best, or he's entirely overrated. And, you know, we're talking about a guy here that's been in the Boomers program.
Who's right in the Boomers team? He's with them.
Well, he's in the Boomers team, and I'll be honest with you, the way he's playing right now, he probably shouldn't be.
No, I mean, you wonder, you know, he said last week, I was at his press conference last week, and he kind of opened up a bit, probably as open as he spoke, and about the appendix surgery, and he said, look, he felt like a zombie out there. He maybe taking him a bit longer to adjust than he expected. So, look, I asked Dean Vickerman after the game on Sunday, I said, is Chris carrying something? And he gave me a flat no answer. It was a straight out no with no other context around it. So he was firm and emphatic on that regard. Yeah. But look, I'm not sure if it's just taking him longer to adjust to get back into his game fitness and into the flow, or is there maybe just an ankle injury that just hasn't gone away? Is there something still tinkering in there? Because
and that's why I say it's either he's carrying something or he's so badly out of form. And I know he had one big performance in amongst that. But at the end of the day, the way he's currently playing, he shouldn't be in the Boomers uniform. And I mean that with all due respect. He's just not playing to the standard that we've come to expect from him.
Yeah, and look, we all know how good he is. We know he can turn around a game on its offense in a click. But
now, Luke, you were there. He wasn't the only one.
No. We have to be fair, because Casper Ware was just as bad on offense. He wasn't doing anything. Casper and Chris Goulding, they got tore up by Bryce Gordon and Damian Martin on the defensive end. Bryce and
Damian Martin was draining triples.
Yeah, but they were aggressive. They were just going at him on offense, putting them in pick and roll situations, exposing him on the defensive end of the floor. So you saw that Casey Prather was good. You know, Casey's holding up his end of the bargain, but you look at a lot of his offense and it's made by himself because there's no other option. There's no ball movement. They're not fluid enough. As soon as something goes against them, you know, as soon as they face a bit of adversity in game, the offense just goes back to old habits. It goes to isolate some basketball, dribble, 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 shot, and it just doesn't work. When you're playing a team like the Perth Wildcats, who, let's not forget, Melbourne United were coming off an 8-day break. Perth Wildcats had to travel from Brisbane. They played in Brisbane on Friday night. So they were coming off a 1-day travel trip, you know? So they, I mean, hypothetically, they should have been the ones that were tired. But, you know, halftime, you look at halftime rolls around, you look, Melbourne are down in halftime, about 15 points. Probably not going to win, but you got a chance. And, you know, Rowan Shaw said this, the former Boomers assistant coach. He said it. He said, okay, Melbourne United right now, who stands up? Who's the leader? I'm looking at this team of these packed individual talents. I'm saying, which one of you are going to pick us up and try and get us back in this ball game? And no one did. No one did. No one showed toughness. No one showed resilience. There was nothing there. It was frustrating. And they gave up 9 offensive rebounds in the first quarter, 5 to Lucas Walker. You know, so
let's ask this question. Is it a case of, well, some guys definitely are not playing well. Is it a lack of leadership there?
It's hard to say there isn't. I mean, I don't see an on-court leader. I don't see a Damian Martin or Enrico Vaccone who kind of says, hey, boys, let's go. I don't see that. There's no one's going to take over there, you know? So it's hard. It's hard to see. Look, like I mentioned, I still finish they finish third because they'll win games on their talent alone. They will. But Chris Anstey said it yesterday. He said it's the talent that scares you about Melbourne United and nothing else. Their physical toughness doesn't scare you. Nothing scares you apart from their talent. And we've seen this season, you can beat them that way. You know, you can beat them by a system and a collective buy-in. So, look, they've got time to figure it out, and I think they will. They'll win more games than they lose, and I've got no doubt they'll be in the playoffs. I've got no doubt about that. They're too good not to. And look, they've shown signs this year they can be good. They had the 2 wins in Adelaide. They beat Sydney last week. So they've showed they can win games pretty comfortably.
Yep.
Then again, look at the flip side. They've been blown out by Perth, blown out by Cairns, lost in Brisbane to the Bullets when they were really struggling. So they've had a bad loss to New Zealand at home. They've had their fair share of bad losses as well. They're 5-5 at the moment. Oh, it makes you wonder, Damo. It makes you wonder.
It does.
Anyway.
It does. But before we finish up, before we finish up, Luke, one more thing I just want to touch on. Two Aussies averaging more than 20 points a game in NCAA basketball. Chima Maniki, we spoke about him last week, but also Deng Adel.
Yes.
You guys look out for some big performances and more to come. And look out for freshman Isaac White, who's been tearing it up for Stanford.
There's no doubt about it. We'll spend more time on the College Boys next week when we have more time, Damo. Like I mentioned off the top, it's a packed episode today. Keep an eye out for next week's show. It'll be packed as always. Keep an eye on the pickandroll.com.au and pickandroll.au on social media channels for all your coverage, you know, Boomers this week. We've got the Liz Cambage situation. We've got Ben Simmons putting up career highs. We've got guys in Europe like Venky Joyce. We've got the college guys putting up 20 points a game. There's so I've probably missed some as well, so I apologize. There's so much happening, Damo. Thanks again for joining me on the Pick and Pop podcast.
Speak next week.